into Babylon to prepare for the kingdom. And Lord willing, we'll sum this up this week and conclude with some of the information about how God promised Jeremiah and other people in the old captivity how he would protect them, even though it was his purpose to actually send the entire nation of the Judah kingdom into the Babylonian captivity. We concluded last time in Jeremiah 38, the last verse, "So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken." So this is after all of these years of Jeremiah's warning and his preaching the word of the Lord to the rebellious kingdom of Judah, God concluded the captivity by sending the armies in, and they conquered Jerusalem. Now, let's read about what happened to the wicked rulers of this Judah kingdom who rejected the word of the Lord, and I think this is also prophetic of our day. Jeremiah 39, starting in verse 6, "Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes," and this is the king of Judah, "and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and brake down the wall of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained." So the entire ruling house of Judah was destroyed by the Babylonians. And remember, we read that they had rejected Jeremiah's word and, in fact, had actually burned the writings of Baruch in the king's palace. And this was what happened to them for that rejection, because we read the prophecy in chapter 34. In verse 18, God said, "I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof." In verse 20, "I will even give them into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven, and to the beasts of the earth." And we saw in the early part of that chapter that the breaking of the covenant referred to here was the refusal to carry out the 50th year jubilee to release all of Israel from economic bondage. Now that's an amazing thing, really, when we look at it today, because the great sin of the rulers of America today is that they have put God's people, Israel and America, in economic bondage. And God saw fit to prophesy through Jeremiah that if they would not break that economic bondage, that he would give them, the rulers, into the hands of the king of Babylon. And here we see this fulfilled. And what happened to many of the other people of the land? I read in verse 10, "But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time." So not only were many of the people of Judah not affected by the conquest, but they were actually given farms and fields in which to grow and multiply. What about the prophet himself? In verse 11 we read, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent," and then these other names, these strange Babylonian names, "and all the kings of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, and committed him unto Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he would carry him home, so he dwelt among the people." God caused the rulers of Babylon to do Jeremiah no harm and, in fact, protect him. Now, I know that there are a lot of people in America today who feel that because we are preaching the kingdom, which is the opposite of the Babylonian kingdom, or the world ruling empire of money, that we are the ones who are going to be destroyed. But that's not true. If this Babylonian captivity of ancient Judah is symbolic and a type of the Babylonian captivity under which we are now existing and are coming under, the ones who will be destroyed by Babylon are the ones who violated God's commandments. Remember, Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar was called my servant. God called Nebuchadnezzar my servant. If so, apparently what is going to be done in Israel by this present captivity is to destroy those things that are out of line with God's word. Now, let's not question God on this. He did this, apparently, in old Israel. How about the rest of the people, or some of the others who were not prophets? Verse 15. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil, and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee, but I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Now let's visualize for a moment, if we can. The Judah kingdom had leaders and armies, and they fought, and the battle was so terrific that when the Babylonians took over, they actually burned and destroyed the city of Jerusalem practically to the ground. This was a great time of chaos and confusion, battle, war, and death. And yet God saw that Jeremiah was protected by the new conquerors, and he went back to this man and said, You will not fall by the sword, you will not be given into the hands of those you are afraid of, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Well, what did Ebed-Melech do that warranted God's protection? We skipped that before. Let's go back and read it in chapter 38. Well, in verse 7, we find that Jeremiah was put in the dungeon, and Ebed-Melech had found this out. Then in verse 8, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So he did, and we read in verse 13, So they drew Jeremiah up with cords, and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. This man believed so much in Jeremiah's prophecies, which were the word of God, that he risked the king's anger and went to the king and said, You have done wrong to this prophet, and he's liable to die. And the king said, All right, you go do whatever's necessary to save him. Translated into today, that means you people who are not preachers should speak up for your faith in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, and for your ministers, even if it means going to the king. You know, we have a lot of fear preached in this land where people are hiding out. They think the way to be saved in any of the Holocaust that may come because of this new Babylonian conquest by the mystery Babylon mother of harlots over the Israel people, that we must hide, that we must not let people know that we know about Christ and his coming kingdom. But anyway, here again is this Babylonian captivity, which was in God's purpose, and remember, Jeremiah also, in his message, said 70 years. Jeremiah not only prophesied the captivity, but he prophesied the breaking of Babylon's power and the release of the Israel people, which we preach today, that the present existing world, money, and economic and religious order that rules over all the nations of the earth, which is spoken of in Revelation 17 and 18, is about to be broken and were to be delivered. And I believe those who believe that message, who put and pray and witness for the message and the carriers of the message, as Jeremiah, will be saved as this man was, and for the same reason, because thou hast put thy trust in the Lord. Let's go back to the beginning here in Jeremiah 1. God had said to this man Jeremiah, who was to carry this message of captivity and deliverance, in verse 17, therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak them all that I have commanded thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and raise those against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now that is what Jeremiah believed, and that apparently is what those such as Baruch believed when they heard Jeremiah, that God would not only see that the message was preached, that Israel would have a chance to hear, but God would protect those who carried the message and those who supported the message carriers. And that means that all of you people, if this is a type of our captivity, and I believe it is, are under the same promise of protection, that you will be saved since you put your trust in the Lord. Turn over to the New Testament, to the letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1, and I want to read this as if I am reading it to you. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And then in verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Now Paul also was writing to these people about their support of him, so in effect he's saying, from you, I and other men have been able to spread the word of God in all of these places. And he is telling them that it's their faith that has made it possible for him to preach all of these things. Verse 9, for they themselves, in other words, these people who have heard the word, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, in other words, waiting for the kingdom whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So here, way back after the death and resurrection of Christ, Paul speaks to people who are instrumental in carrying the gospel of Christ and the message of the kingdom, and he commends them for their faith and speaks of the Christ who has delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, brother, sister, I believe that we are delivered from the wrath to come in the same manner and for the same reason that God delivered Jeremiah and the rest of the people who believed on him in and through and then out of the Babylonian captivity. Now, I know a lot of people died in the Babylonian captivity. They must have. There were wars, conflict, and enemies, soldiers without number. And I imagine if we look at the enemies of America today, as far as we're concerned, their soldiers are without number. Their power is beyond estimation. In the newspaper the other day, I was reading that the Russians are coming out with new submarines, and they'll be launching some 60 submarines, each of which will be able to launch 20 missiles for a distance of up to 4,000 miles. In other words, Russian submarines could be parked out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, halfway to Europe, and wipe out all of America's large cities on the East Coast. That is the power that is arrayed against us, and we have only, and I use this term correctly, we have only God's word to protect us. We have no defense against the armies of modern Babylon. We have God's word, and that's all. And that's what God was commending these people for here, that they actually believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom to wait for his Son from heaven, who raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right, let's go back to Jeremiah, because I want to recap some of the important prophecies and verses which we read in these chapters in Jeremiah. And I do hope and pray that out of this, that many of you will be led to make yourselves familiar with these verses in Jeremiah from chapter 26 and on through about 37. The time of the prophecy and the time of the actual military armies of Babylon coming against the Old Kingdom. Jeremiah 27, in verse 6 and 7. And now have I given all these lands into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve them. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. God had given a decree that all of these nations, including the Judah kingdom, would serve Babylon until it was God's time to destroy Babylon. And then he said, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. When God was through with Babylon, and Babylon had done that which God had decreed, then God would take care of Babylon. Jeremiah 28, there were prophets who came to the children of Judah and told them that the Babylonian captivity was short, that God was going to destroy Babylon in 2 years, and it would be all over. Well, Jeremiah was sent to tell these prophets that they prophesied in error. And verse 16 and 17 we read, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. What was the rebellion that Hananiah had prophesied? He said in verse 15, thou makest this people to trust in a lie, and the lie was that we're going to get out of this Babylonian captivity in 2 years, when God had said 70 years. Now, I know there are a lot of people in America today who are doing that partially. These great anti-communists are saying, well, if we can just get enough money, and if we can just get enough radio stations, and if we can just get enough people, we'll break the power of these Babylonians and we'll be free. No, my friend, God has decreed certain things to come to pass, and let's be careful that we do not defy God by saying, well, we can do something and we'll break it. No, the old Babylonian captivity was decreed for a certain number of years, and in chapter 29, we read this, starting in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. Israel, work and live and marry and multiply in the present captivity. Now, we can be so fearful of this present captivity or to end real soon that we can forget that God says, multiply in the Babylonian captivity. This ungodly doctrine of the rapture of the church, and they're going to be taken out immediately, I believe, has caused many people not to go on and work and get their education and prepare and live. Why? Because God has a plan and a promise to deliver us, not in a small number of people, but in a great number of people. So he says, I know you're in Babylon, but you work and live and marry and plant and harvest. And that's what our people should be doing today, because in verse 10 he said, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. You're going to have to spend a certain time in the Babylonian captivity, then God will visit you, and here's the condition of the people when God delivers them out of Babylon. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now, if we're looking for signs of our deliverance out of the Babylonian captivity in this age, I would suggest we look for the sign of God's people seeking the Lord with all his heart. And if that is not coming to pass, then, brother, sister, we may have some more time to spend in the Babylonian captivity. And from my mail, and from conversation with other ministers, and looking at the existing condition of the so-called Christian church in America, I would say our people are not seeking the Lord God with all his heart. That little story I told you before the sermon, of the tiny percentage of the audience that I had last night, and those people are interested in money in Texas and the Federal Reserve, the tiny percentage of them knowing even a portion of God's word about the subject they were interested in, is proof that our people are not seeking the Lord God with all their heart. But of course, the rest of the verses show us here that when they did, God came and delivered them. Turn to verse 32, or chapter 32, because there we read the prophecy of what would be done by the Babylonians, chapter 29, and the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire in this city, and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto God to provoke me to anger. What were the houses that were to be destroyed in the city of Jerusalem? The ones that had worshipped other gods. The ones that had worshipped other gods. Now, if that fits what we have seen the communists have done in nations they have conquered, in their destruction of what are called Christian churches, I would suspect that the Antichrist enemy of Israel will be allowed in America to destroy the churches that teach false doctrine and teach another Christ. And brother, sister, this nation is full of churches that teach false doctrines and actually teach another gospel and another Christ. Well, are the communists going to destroy them? I don't know. But in the old Babylonian captivity and conquest of Jerusalem, God said they would actually destroy those houses. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. And God brought this thing upon Jerusalem because of that. Now, there is also in Jeremiah, as you know, in chapter 31, the promise of the new covenant, and in chapter 32. Let's read it in 32 because that's not so familiar. So, right in the midst of the prophecies of the destruction by the Chaldeans of the Judah kingdom is the promise of a new covenant. Chapter 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. This, along with many other verses which we read, are obviously prophetic of the future, and were not fulfilled in old Judah. They were not fulfilled in old Judah, therefore they must be prophecies of the future. Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 13, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. And we read that in Ezekiel, that this was in effect God placing the rod over the sheep of Israel to choose them out and place them under the bond of the new covenant. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. This would be the entire nation of Israel, not just the Judah kingdom that went into old Babylon. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to go up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. What could that be except the promise that the good thing that God would do to the house of Israel and the house of Judah would be to place Christ in rulership over them in their land? That has to be the promise and the prophecy of the new covenant and the kingdom of Christ upon the earth. Chapter 34, and this, by the way, I read last night to that group out there who were listening about money and taxes, because here is God's condemnation for the Israel people or the rulers not taking the people out of economic bondage. Chapter 16, but ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. That is exactly what has happened here on this North American continent. The founders of this nation set our people free from economic bondage. Now the rulers of this nation have placed our people back under economic bondage. And then God says in verse 17, therefore thou sayest the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And who was that pronounced against? The rulers and the people who said, we will do God's word, and then didn't do it. Now this is the entire principle of this Babylonian captivity, which we must understand. God is not going to punish the people who have faith in him in Babylon. God is using Babylon to destroy the wicked and the sinners in the land of Israel who said, I will do God's word, and then refused to do it. Remember, the Israel people at Mount Sinai made a covenant with God that they would do his word. And then they turned away and did not do it, and God allowed them to die in the wilderness and brought their children into the kingdom. Now this captivity follows the same line. God is a God of justice and mercy and righteousness. He's not going to destroy those who believe in him in the captivity. And by the way, this same principle is in Isaiah, which I think we should read as a second witness. Chapter 13 of Isaiah, which you know is a prophecy of end-time Babylon. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. And here again, in prophecy, is the same principle that Jeremiah had to follow, that the kings and the princes and the elders had to be told of their sin and iniquity. And here we have it in Isaiah also. And then in verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So if Isaiah says the same thing in prophecy that Jeremiah said in the old Babylonian captivity, we must assume that God is going to follow this principle in the present captivity of the children of Israel. The sinners will be destroyed out of it. Turn back to Jeremiah 36, before God destroys the sinners out of the land of Israel in this end of the age, they have to be told that they are risking destruction by disobedience. Jeremiah 36, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations from the days that I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Again, God's righteousness requires that the people in the land of Israel be told of their sin and iniquity, so that if they will turn, they can turn, they may turn, and God will not destroy them. Now, as far as I know, and I'm going to speak on this generally, the only people in the land of America who can tell God's people here what they are doing wrong and what they're supposed to do right are ministers who know who these people are. Let's face it, the fundamentalists who preach that God's law has been put away, that there is no law against usury and debt generation after generation, and in fact, we've reached the point now where apparently there seems to be no law against murder, because according to some figures I've read, our government approved of the killing of at least 1.5 million babies in the womb last year. The law has been put away by the fundamentalists to the extent that they are, for practical purposes, unable to tell our people of their sin. So who's left? The kingdom identity ministers who know when they preach to America, the Anglo-Saxon people, they're preaching to God's house of Israel. It has to be kingdom ministers. And of course, here Jeremiah naturally, obviously, knew he was preaching to Israel people. And he went to them and told them, and God says, they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Turn to Daniel 9, because Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity, and we read that Daniel understood the Babylonian captivity by reading the books of Jeremiah. He tells us that in Daniel 9. And Daniel was in Babylon in his day, just as we are under the control and in Babylon today. Verse 13 of Daniel 9, after confessing his sins and the sins of the Israel people, he says this, As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. All of this evil and all of the tribulation that is coming upon America, Israel today, is not to get us to pray that God will destroy the communists and deliver us. It's coming upon us to get us to pray to God that He might turn us from our iniquities and He might give us to understand His truth. Now, very little of that kind of praying, I am afraid, is being done in America today. And yet Daniel said, everything that happened to the old Judah kingdom in Babylon was done that they might pray before God, turn us from our iniquities, and give us to understand of thy truth. Now, some one of these days, we're going to start praying that, and I believe when we recognize Micah 4 and verse 10, where he said to the children of Israel, the daughter of Jerusalem that was to receive the kingdom, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. and look at the words that Micah used to describe Israel in the hands of their enemies. Be in pain and labor to bring forth. Is it going to be easy? Are we supposed to sit here and do nothing? God says to the children of Israel coming out of Babylon into the new kingdom, be in pain and labor to bring forth. That means we work, we preach, we pray, we believe God for the kingdom. Now, if we believe that the United States of America is the daughter of Zion, then we must believe that Zion is going to be in pain and labor as she comes out of the Babylonian captivity into the kingdom. Turn to Revelation 18, because this is the destruction of this Babylon of the end of the age that we have talked about for 5 sermons so far. And now we, as God's people, will see this come to pass. Revelation 18, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 4, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And I believe, as we've discussed earlier, that our Christian Israel people here in America will actually, collectively and nationally, do those things necessary to break the money power of Babylon in America and come out of Babylon. Now, individually, we do this, many of us, but I believe the entire nation here is called. And then in verse 8, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Now, most of you are familiar with scores of verses in the Old and the New Testament that tell us that the wicked works of the world and this symbolic prophetic Babylon at the end of the age is going to be burned up and destroyed with fire. The works of God, the preaching of God's word, God's ministers are all described in the Bible as fire. So these things that will burn Babylon are fire. Most of you know that. Now let's close in Isaiah 33, because here is a prophecy. Some of these verses, which you should remember, because you can have a good time with one of your fundamentalist friends who believes in hellfire, and that most people will burn in hell to the end of the age. And it also is specifically for you who believe we are in Zion. Isaiah 33, verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. And then he asked this question. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? If you read this verse to a fundamentalist friend and ask him who is going to dwell with the devouring fire and shall dwell with everlasting burnings, most of them, if they answer at all, will say, well, these sinners he's just talked about. Well, the next verse says, He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of bloods, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Who is going to dwell, to live, to exist right on in the fire that destroys the sinners? Well, God's people who turn and trust in Him. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, in other words, he'll be fed. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is very far off. What will you see? Not only will you be protected and actually live in the fire that destroys this Babylon, but you will see Christ and his rulership in his kingdom in the land that is very far off. What land is that? It's near now, isn't it, because we're in it. The United States of America and God's Israel nation are the land that he saw. Verse 22 says, "For the Lord is our judge, and the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." Verse 24, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be given their iniquity." Isn't that a wonderful note of hope to end a story of a terrible long time of captivity such as we have been experiencing for many generations? We're coming to the end of it, and God has decreed that this Babylon of Bible prophecy will be destroyed with fire, and God's people who put their trust in him will live and exist and work and do his word right in the fire to the end of the age. And praise the Lord, at the end of that time, the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. God will forgive the sins of his Israel people, and of course we know, will raise us up by his word to everlasting life in the kingdom. Yes, brother, sister, this captivity is not as short as some of the preachers said in old Judah, and it is not long. God has decreed a time. Let us wait and pray and hope that the time is short from now, but it's God's time for destruction of Babylon. Let's all stand. Our Father and our God, we pray that these words will sink deep in our hearts, that we will see that your purposes are being worked out, that this is not man's decree, this is not man's plan, and that you are preparing your land and the earth for the cleansing and the restoration as the Garden of Eden. God, help us to see this and to stand and to believe and have faith that thou shalt accomplish thy purposes in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.